In our final presentation about mutual funds, we narrowed our discussion down to a single mutual fund from almost 12,000. Why? Because you got to start somewhere, right? And we chose this mutual fund for various reasons, one of which is its longevity. It's been around for over 80-some-odd years. So let's take a look at the Investment Company of America, 84 years of investing. A little over, actually. So let's minimize this because I have it on the hard drive. It looks a little bit better than using the internet. So let's minimize this. And here is what we call a hypothetical illustration. And there are various that you're going to take a look at throughout the semester, including this chapter. But this one is probably the granddaddy of them all. Why? Because this one's for 84 years of investing, 84 and a half years of investing. And throughout these hypothetical illustrations, you will see things along these lines. Investments are not FDIC insured, nor are they deposits of or guaranteed by a bank or any other entity, so they may lose value. Figures shown are past results and not predictive of results in future periods. Current and future results may be lower or higher than those shown. Share prices and returns will vary, so investors may lose money. Pardon me for the Gregorian chant, but doesn't this look like stuff that you don't want to read? And yet, the Securities and Exchange Commission strongly recommends that you read all this gobbledygook, which is basically trying to get you to understand that these things can lose money. They will lose money. They are investing in securities, stocks in this case, that vary every day. And so what I find is that most people just ignore it, right? It's the same situation as when you're supposed to click here to read all the terms of agreement that nobody reads. Yeah. So anyway, that's what we're doing. Now, for some odd reason, see, all this is still more lawyerese that nobody reads. For some odd reason, the Securities and Exchange Commission has recommended or told or whatever that we should use $10,000 as our starting investment for mutual funds and other types of investments. And you know what, folks? I don't know about you, but how many people have $10,000 lying around the house, right? I'm trying to get people to put $50, $100 a month away. But that's what they use, so that's what we'll use. And this is way back in January 1st, 1934. Remember, some of these have a load. This is one of those that have a upfront sales charge. And if we use the A shares, as they're called, over time, we're going to spend less in fees than if we were to use some of the other flavors of shares. So we're starting out in 1934 in the depths of the Great Depression with $10,000. And it bounces around, and we see in 1937 there was a brief and brutal recession, return to the Depression days. But then we had World War II. And then we had the Korean War, and then the go-go's 50s and 60s when stocks went in two directions, up and way up. And finally, by 1972, your $10,000 had become $1,230,000. Pretty darn good, right? It only took 40 years. And you're feeling good about yourself, and then 2 years later, it's $840,000. Dear students, it's going to happen at least once, twice, maybe more in your lifetime. There are times when stocks go down, sometimes viciously down, yes, as in the 73-74 bear market. But you didn't run, you didn't hide, and we came out of the 1970s, which was a very difficult year for the economy and for a lot of things. I don't know, some of you weren't around, but you don't remember disco. It was a tough time, right? We also had Watergate, the Vietnam War, the culture clash, lots of terrible things. But we came out of it. We survived and we prospered. And the 1980s and 1990s, globalization, new technologies, blue skies, productivity gains. The stock market went in two directions, up and way up. And 1999, 2000, looky there, 47 million. Y2K. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about there. And what did you hear people say, right? The stock market had just exploded in the late 90s. And what did you hear people say? Ooh, is it too late to get in? When you hear people say that, yeah, the answer is usually yes. Because what happened? 2 years later, you were down to 38.7 million. Yeah, not good. And in fact, these guys held up better than the market as a whole, as they normally have in the past. They don't tend to do so explosive on the upside, but they tend to hold up better than the market as a whole when things go down. So this is what did you hear in 2002? At the end of October 2002 was the bottom. Ooh, is it too late to get out? Yeah, that we're humans. And you know, when you hear people saying that, what does that usually mean? Right, it's too late to get out. Now's the time you should be putting more money in. And so 2003, 4, 5, 6, 7, the stock market did pretty darn well, and you had $70 million. Ooh, is it too late to get... Yeah, right, 2008 comes along, a bolt of lightning from the sky, and your $70 million is now a little less than $46 million. But you didn't run, you didn't hide, you held on, and it took 5 years to 2012, but you clawed your way back, and then the last several years have actually been pretty darn well, and that $10,000 that you put there back in 1934, as of the 31st of July 2018, is now $155 million. At an average annual rate of return at 12%. Now, what do we expect from stocks, folks? What do we tell people? 8, 9, 10% if you're lucky. Here are people, here's a group that's done 12 over 84 and a half years. Now, do I expect them to continue to do 12%? No, actually, I don't. I think that's just too much to ask of any one individual or group of individuals in this case, or any company. But still, it's a pretty darn good sign. And folks, they're not alone. They're not the only ones out there, folks. There are people. So don't let people tell you can't do it. Now, it's unusual. Remember, 8, 9, 10%, you're very happy. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at the graph. And what we should see, and indeed it's hard to, it doesn't fit all on the screen here, is we see exponential growth. And because the numbers get so large, the first 40 years, you barely even can tell that there's any kind of change in what's going on. Of course, you look at the numbers, you see big changes. But then we start to see this exponential growth upward. But is it a smooth curve? No, there are bumps along the way. And that's what you, as an investor, have to become, you have to prepare yourself emotionally as well as intellectually, because it's going to happen. But as we discussed in Chapter 4, and we'll discuss again and again, these are your opportunities to buy more shares at lower prices, dollar cost averaging. You check out those slides on dollar cost averaging. Don't worry, we'll come back to it again. And so what we finally see is that exponential growth up in the air, assuming the world doesn't end. And preparing for the times when the markets are going to fall, because we know history tells us, and we know that it's going to happen, so we have to be prepared. Now, I know what you're thinking. Piano, I don't want to wait 84 and a half years, and neither do I, right? So what you're going to see also are illustrations that do 30 years, 40 years, 20 years, more realistic illustrations of what it's possible for us as individual investors during our working careers to build for our retirement and whatever other financial goals you have. Cool? Okay, so check out the other illustrations. $100 a month for 30 years, $100 a month for 40 years, $100 a month for 40 years, increasing $10 every year. And then for the folks who are in their 50s, 20 years, but $500 a month. Yeah, they don't have time. Time is the exponent, dear students. So please now take the time to take a look at those other illustrations for more realistic time frames. See ya!